When violence occurs, lives are lost, properties destroyed. A lot of the times, children lose their parents, siblings. But another thing that suffers is their mental health. Mental health is an important but often overlooked aspect of this menace, especially when it concerns children. There are children who have suffered abduction, witnessed the deaths and rape of their parents and siblings. Hello, welcome to The Crisis Room, a podcast from Human Angle. I am Hawa Shafi'i Nuhu, standing in for my colleague Murtala Abdullahi. In this podcast, we look at crisis trends across the country and answer the tough questions around them. This week, I am here with a guest, Mr. Thangod Ocheho, a child psychologist who works with NIM Foundation. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, can you tell us just a little bit about your work and what it entails?
It's a great pleasure to be on this program to share my perspective regarding mental health as it's related to children. I work with NIM Foundation. I'm the head of the psychology department. So at NIM Foundation, over the years, we've been providing mental health services to individuals, to children in conflict setting. We work across Borno State, Adamawa, Yobe, Sokoto, Benue, Zamfara State, and we've been trying to provide mental health and psychosocial support services to individuals affected by conflict, terrorism, and just beyond that, even the bandit activities and the headmen farmer crisis also. Because whenever there is a crisis in any community, apart from people being affected physically, their mental health is also being affected.
Yeah.
So we saw the need as an organization to be able to reach out to these people. And over the years, since we started, we've been able to provide mental health services to over 50,000 beneficiaries across the state that I mentioned earlier. And we did that by providing more like counseling services to them, expressive therapy, you know, so that they'll be able to bounce back, you know, from all these challenges they have gone through. Imagine people who lost their loved ones as a result of the crisis, people who have lost their livelihood, property destroyed. Definitely their life never remain the same. So there's that need for mental health services, which we've been doing. I believe that we'll be able to do more as time goes on.
That's interesting. Thank you. So with all these, do you think Nigeria has enough systems in place that actually caters to children in particular, children in these conflict areas that have had to undergo abductions and witness a lot of things?
Okay, for Nigeria as a nation, we don't have system as a country to be able to address this. But there are individuals, organizations, you know, that have taken up this responsibility to be able to see how they will be able to address this issue. But definitely there's a limit to it, because what we're also looking at is the fact that the demand for mental health services outweigh the available capacity. You understand? So when you have 1,000, for instance, you have, let's say, 200,000 people are experiencing trauma, and you only have one organization providing the services, you know, there's no way you'll be able to reach out to these people or be effective in reaching out to all of these people. So as a country, we've not really put up those systems to be able to address it. But I believe with time, you know, recently the bid for mental health bill was approved. Was assigned by the president. So I guess probably with time we'll be able to see the need and begin to put some structures in place to address this issue collectively as a nation.
I think the only other bill that relates to mental health that we've had is like the Lunacy Act, which is like which was passed in like 1960 something. So it's been a long time coming. So now that we've established that there really is a gap when it comes to treating the mental health of people and children in conflicts affected areas, what do you think are the possible ripple effects of this?
If it's not addressed?
Yes, of children or people not getting access to the help that they need.
Yeah, it actually have quite a number of ripple effects. Let me even begin by saying that quite a number of us go through childhood trauma.
Mm.
Even as an adult, there are certain things that you display in adulthood that can be traced to the trauma you experience in childhood,
mm.
which quite a number of people do not even know, because some of these things is deposited or stored in their subconsciousness. So they are not even aware that the reason why they are behaving the way they are behaving
Absolutely.
Is as a result of the childhood trauma. So over the years also, it has been shown based on research that if trauma is not treated, definitely it moves into the subconsciousness. And in the process of time, as they begin to grow into adulthood, the trauma that is stored within them, because every human being has memories, there are things that happen in your childhood that you can still remember.
Absolutely.
So those traumatic experiences that are stored in the memory, if not treated, it changes the architecture of the brain, which also begin to affect your behavior. And so some of this behavior, you move it into adulthood and you begin to behave in certain way, and people are wondering why you're behaving this way. So as a nation, we something that we really need to take seriously, because one of the things trauma does is that it affects people's capacity to be able to even relate with other people effectively. That's why I see some people, they are being aggressive. Not because they are naturally born being aggressive, but because of the experience that they've gone through. So the antisocial behavior is developed. Some people, they just get isolated because that's the best way they can manage their trauma, especially for children. Children don't understand. And when they are faced with trauma, they don't want know how to process it. Their emotional regulation at that point has not been fully developed to be able to regulate their emotion. So at that point, when they are faced with trauma, you see them begin, so for some, especially maybe toddlers or preschoolers, they just begin to throw tantrum, and you are wondering why they are throwing tantrum. And if that is not really addressed, what you refer to as tantrum is what people become aggressive when they begin to get into adulthood. So you see, issues like that begin to come in place. It affects their level, their self-esteem, because their safe zone is already being affected. So they begin to look at themselves, oh, I've been useless, their life is worthless, there's nothing, you know. So in adulthood, it begins to also affect their level of self-esteem. Even their level of self-confidence is also being affected. And some people get into depression as a result of that. When there is no help, trust me, depressions move gradually into suicidal ideation. Suicidal ideation simply means suicide, that when you start thinking about suicide, you know. But after the thought of suicide, what next? People begin to commit suicide. You understand? So for us not to get to that point where people begin to attempt suicide, we need to start looking at these issues and address it. And you see, one of the problem why we don't pay attention to it is because mental health issue is not as visible as physical health and challenge. For instance, if you have a cut in your hand, people can see it and they can easily show empathy and compassion. Or if you say, oh, you are feeling headache, you are uncomfortable at that point, they can see you. But it's possible somebody is having mental health challenge, because it's not that visible or obvious as physical health challenge, we don't really pay attention to it. But it's something that is gradually affecting everyone, even in the society, is beginning to affect our society, you know, and we need to begin to talk about it. Also, and that reason is because the awareness is not really, you know, has not really grown the way we expect it to be. And again, because there's an underlying reason to it, one of the underlying reasons is the fact that we still see mental health problem as a religious crisis and not a public health crisis. So because we see it as a religious crisis, whenever somebody has any mental health challenge, the first thing is recommended is, oh, go and see your pastor, go and see your imam or something, you know. So issues that are supposed to be handled by professional mental health expert, you know, the clergies, the religious leaders have taken over, you know, so they are addressing it. Now, because if you are not training and I setting all this, for instance, if you have depression, there are scientific tools that you need to use to measure. And also there are treatment plans you need to design. But if an expert, somebody who's not an expert, doesn't understand that, they'll begin to, you know, they can even re-traumatize the person, you get, because they are not skilled in that area to be able to handle those issues.
Wow, that's a very robust and interesting response. I'm thinking now about some conversations that I have had with children, like the Dapchi girls that were abducted in 2018. They were mostly teenagers, and I remember speaking with them about the part that has just really pained them the most since they came back, since their release was procured. And often they say it's the fact that there has been no aftercare for them. So imagine having to spend up to a month with terrorists in God knows where. And by the time you return, there is no form of support whatsoever, whether economical or even mental, to their mental health. So that's something that a lot of the girls complained about, that, you know, they haven't been able to get the needed access to mental health support. But one interesting thing was that the girls didn't actually use the phrase mental health. The way that they explained this, it did not seem like they even knew that they needed mental health support. They just say things like, you know, things that can help them take their mind away from the horrors of what they have had to go through. So do you think there are also cases where people really don't even realize that they actually need this mental health support? Perhaps it's not just the government or the society who are even not aware. Sometimes it's the actual person that is going through it. It's like sometimes they're not really aware that they need mental health support.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with you. We have a situation whereby how many schools talked about mental health, for example? So you can go to primary, secondary, and even university or tertiary institution, and you've not heard about the word mental health. So it's not just the government I'm talking about. Also individuals.
Yeah.
So the awareness is not fully there. You know, we've not even gotten to that point compared to what we have in other climes. You realize how, in fact, in some countries, mental health is compulsory in every organization, which means that you must have a mental health professional as one of your employees. So that every employee that have any mental health problem, we have to meet the person for therapy or for counseling, you know, so it's compulsory. But we've not even in schools right now, there are some schools that don't even have counselors. And the counselors that some schools even now have, they only focus on career. What will be your choice of career? You understand?
Yeah.
So they don't have any experience in dealing with mental health problem. So it's a fundamental issue across board, not just only the government or people in government, you know, even individuals, parents. That is why you see your parenting style can even traumatize a child. But if you don't understand what trauma is, how will you know when you are doing something that is traumatizing someone?
Exactly.
You get? So in the family, it's needed. The awareness needs to be there. In schools, there's what I call building a trauma-sensitive classroom or building a trauma-sensitive family, whereby everyone in the family, everyone in the school understand what trauma is, and they create an environment that is trauma-sensitive so that they don't traumatize people. Individuals are the ones that traumatize, you know, people around. So once everybody understands all this, it helps to be able to create that environment. But the awareness needs to start from somewhere. And that is why as an organization, we're trying to do our bit, but one organization is just not, it's not enough. We need more people to be able to create this awareness to other people, let them know what mental health is. In fact, some people don't even feel comfortable to talk about it, that they have mental health problem. Because what we understand to be mental health, when we use the word, this one is mad, or, you know, it's a lunatic, or it's, you know. So those words, because of stigma, so people cannot open up to talk about, oh, I have depression or I have anxiety. And we have a lot of people battling with anxiety. You have a lot of people battling with depression. Again, how many people have gone to meet a mental health professional and say, I want to assess my mental health state? We do that if quite a number of us go to hospital and say you want to do medical checkup. Even when you are not feeling well, you have a routine, maybe once in every quarter, to say, I want to go and do medical checkup. But how many people go to meet a mental health professional and say, I want to do a mental health checkup? Because we don't even see the important, but it's necessary. Because these issues we are talking about, most of them are in spectrum. And what I mean most of them are in spectrum is that depression, for instance, it could be from normal to extremely severe. Somebody can be in between. So when you go and do checkup, they know the level in which you are, because someone can be having mental and depression and he or she is not even aware it's having depression. Because you have not assessed yourself or you have not been diagnosed. But you realize that you form within that spectrum, because even the country alone is enough to traumatize you.
Absolutely.
You understand? With the things you hear on a daily basis. So people need to check their mental health to be able to understand the state in which they are. And probably if they need help, they're able to, you know, get that help as that went due. A lot of people are stressed. People are going through a lot. Even the capacity to think about certain financial challenge that you're having, inability to pay bills. Now school is start resuming. People are thinking of school fees. So a lot of people have quite a number of challenges that they are going through. But they also need to be able to open up to talk to people. And some people are also afraid because, like I mentioned earlier, the stigma. They don't want to tell somebody they're having anxiety disorder or having depression, you know, and somebody begin to stigmatize them and all of that. But I think we must get to the point where we begin to normalize this thing, and people are free to be able to open up and talk about the issues they are going through.
Wow, thank you. Thank you so much for that. So I have one last question. We've talked about the changes and reforms that society and individuals, both on a family level and on a larger level, can make to accommodate mental health. But I'm wondering, do you think there are more institutional reforms that the government can take beyond just, you know, assenting to the mental health bill? Do we need to set up trauma centers? How can the government take the help closer to people, especially in conflict zones?
There are quite a number of reforms government need to be able to look into. The first thing is that, let me even say this, there are certain structures already that are existing. All you need to do is to look at this existing structure and create a reform around it. For instance, primary healthcare is a fundamental system that can be used to provide mental health service to people across board. What do you need to do? You already have this primary system, primary healthcare available. Create, you know, I don't want to use the word committee because we are used to committee, but create people that are professional in this area. Let them put up the structure in place, mental health services across different communities, you know, and get people trained, and they put them in this system and do awareness sensitization within the community. So when people have any mental health problem in that community, it's like what we do in grassroots. You see, the only way we've been, one of the area we've been so effective when it comes to grassroots effectiveness is in politics. You see, when election is coming, you see how people get to grassroots to be able to do sensitization and all of that.
True.
We can use the same approach, you understand, to reach out through the primary health care, because the primary health care is closer to the people in their community. You understand? Also, we cascade it to the state level, where you have all these general hospital, national hospital, where you are able to create the same system, you know, and get professional mental health professionals. Let them put up that system. You go to hospital, sometimes people don't even bother about your mental health. They're only concerned about your physical health and what is wrong with you. You understand? So that also is important. Government can also put this into the Ministry of Education, can put it in the curriculum. You understand? That every child that go through any education, whether it's primary, university, or tertiary institution, they know about mental health, and possibly make it compulsory that every school must have a counselor that understand mental health. I'm talking about government school now. And of course, because private schools also meet under Ministry of Education, you can also extend the same thing to private school, that every school must have a counselor. You understand? Corporate organization, the people within the space are having mental health problem. You get, they're having crisis within the family that's impacting on the work. So the work of HR should not just be hiring and firing. This can also be integrated into the services HR can be provided, and so on and so forth. So there are a lot of reforms that can be done that will help us to be able to have a country and a nation that value mental health services.
These are really useful suggestions, and I hope it gets to the people who actually need it and are able to have the capacity to make these reforms. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been amazing. It has been amazing to listen to you talk about these reforms and these issues that are very important but are unfortunately underlooked by society and the government. So thank you again for joining us. This is an episode of Human Angle Crisis Room. Join us in 2 weeks for another episode. The producer is Anthony Asemota. The executive producer is Ahmad Selkia.